Hollywood movie, there was this superhero called the Incredible Hulk. You know, in Rage, this green Hulk, this Hulk, would turn into a green giant, super strength, and beat out the bad guys. But in reality, unfortunately, uncontrolled anger almost always lead not into victory, but rather into destruction. Today's scripture talk about Cain was angry with God. Because of this anger, it escalates into violence and destruction. Genesis 4 holds up like a mirror to us, all of us, to see ourselves. Remind us that we all have a king within us. But for the Christian, if we repent of our sin and seek God's salvation, then we can overcome it. But if we don't repent and left Cain unchecked, pretty soon our personal depravity will quickly lead to social corruption, lead to other people in hatred, violence, and many, many serious sins. Just like the saying goes, a little yeast leavens the whole lump. So let us look at this today's scripture. It's like a mirror talking to us. In verse 1, it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. With the help of the Lord. Though Adam and Eve forfeited eternal life in the previous chapter, they continue to live for a period of time and give birth to the next generation. And in this verse, it tells us a lesson of living by faith in today's world. It is human effort versus God's help. You see, God gave Adam and Eve the ability to procreate, to give birth to a next generation. Biologically speaking, in human level, the birth of Cain was the result of her sexual intercourse with Adam. So it's a natural birth. I can say that I give birth to my child. But for Eve, if you look at things in this world through the lens of faith, she recognized that she have Cain is with the help of the Lord. Eve recognized that it was not just her effort or Adam's effort, but it was also the result of divine grace. Hence, he says, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth. The Hebrew sound of Cain is like brought forth or acquired. So she recognized that it was God who participated in this birth. You see, brothers and sisters, in the Bible have consistently tell us that God is working in our world today. The thing is, do we recognize it? Do we recognize God's share in the activities that continues human life and in our story? Say, for example, your job. The reason why you can work, why you have a job, do you see that there is the God's will? There's God's plan as part of it. How about your study? Are you just studying? Yes, of course, you are the one who sweat and memorize and do homeworks. But ultimately, do you recognize that your study need to have the participation, the help of the Lord, in order to be successful? It's just a simple sentence, but it reminds us of the lens of faith that we so often forget. Next, we see that Abel and Cain made offering to the Lord. Both Cain and Abel brought offering, but God is pleased with Abel's offering, but rejects Cain's. Why? Why did God prefer Abel over Cain? Anyone care to give a suggestion? Oh, Lee. Oh, okay, good. Well, the narrator of Genesis did not describe God's reasoning to us, but instead, he gave an explicit statement. But instead, the narrator tells the story in such a way that we, the reader, can enter into the story and understand the reasoning, just like how Auntie Chow Lai Lee understand it. You see, the reason is not that God prefers animal sacrifice over fruit offering, but rather it is a contrast of a careless, thoughtless offering with a choice, generous, intentional offering. Notice how it described with the Bible that Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. You see, it's the Bible, the narrator is telling us that Cain just grab some and give it to God. But, he says, Abel brought the fat portions. You see, in those times, they love fats. God was pleased with fats. It's not like us today, you know. Fat portion represents the best part of the animal. And the firstborn is the best of the flock. So in other words, the description is Abel took the best out of the best and offered to God. In a word, Cain offered the ordinary, whereas Abel offered the best. Furthermore, he says, in offering, God also looked at the heart's attitude of the person. You see, in verse 4, it says, God looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. You see, God is not just looking at the gift that is presented. God looks at both the gift and also the giver, the person. Abel and his offering. Cain and his offering. It's not the value, the size, or the preciousness of the offering, the gift that God is care about. God also care about the person. The heart attitude of the offerer, the giver. Notice how Cain responded to God's displeasure. Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So God already knows the heart of Cain. Cain is the one who would be angry with God. From this, it tells us a valuable lesson in worship for us today. Are we offering our heartfelt worship to God? You see, in this story, God was not disappointed with Cain because he failed to provide the meat. Rather, because of the quality of his sacrifice, revealed the insincerity of his worship. You see, he's just offering something as a token. It's just going through the motion. How do you come to worship today? Did you just wake up 30 minutes ago? And maybe at that time it's still struggling, should I go to church today? Okay, maybe I should. I haven't gone the last week. Did you just rush into the sanctuary between the third song and the pastoral prayer? Do you do that, show up late at your place of work? When you sing praise to God, were you just mouthing the word, going through the motion? Or do you really mean it? What do you offer to God? And then we look at God's speech to Cain. He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Notice how easy it would be for Cain to rectify the matter. Try again, Cain. No, give your heart right. You know, offer a sacrifice and show that you love me. Do something that reflects your love for me. God is offering another second chance to Cain. And God also warns Cain of the danger of harboring sin. Sin is crouching at your door. In other words, don't let sin dominate you. Crouching is like the lion waiting outside your door, the house of, you know, your home. When you come out, you know, he'll pounce on you, jump on you. That reminds me of my recent shingle. You know, many of you heard that I suffered from shingle at the end of last year. And later on, I learned that, you know, shingle is like, is caused by, you know, some dormant viruses that stay behind after you have chicken pox when you were a child, you know. And then this virus would just stay dormant at your, in your body. And when you get older, your immune system, your resistance is weaker, and then it's crouching, it bounces back on you and attack your nervous system. It's crouching to hit you, you know. Let this be a warning for our young people. Maybe it takes a vaccination. So it's like that. Sin is like that, just waiting to attack you. So take control. Cain needs to take control of his life and keep sin out. Yet how does Cain react? He did not take up the second chance God offered. Instead, he lures his brother out into the field where they are alone, and he kills him. And he did that with a deceitful purpose. Told his brother, "Let's go out to the field." This is premeditated murder. Make an excuse. Cain kills Abel because he can't kill God. So he kills the one that pleases God. Before we condemn Cain, think about how you reacted the last time God did not grant you what you want. Your unanswered prayer. Did you get angry? Did you stop going to church? Did you tell other people that this church is bad? The Bible warned us against the Cain in us. Let's read John, 1 John 3:12. Towards the end of the Bible, 1 John 3:12. 1 John 3:12, it says, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged..." Missed that slide. Okay, 1 John 3:12. "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." Okay. And the second verse in the New Testament is the Jude 11. Jude is the second last book in the Bible, and it's only one chapter. Jude 11. It says, "Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain." In Jude 11, we are warned against godless false teachers who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality. Verse 4, it says, "They are the godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." Jude used Cain as an exemplar of people who abuse God's grace and indulge in immorality. In 1 John 3:12, all Christians are warned not to be like Cain. So Cain is not an isolated incident. Cain is all to us, all of us. We are like Cain when we're jealous of what others have. We are like Cain when we are careless in our web surfing. When we are not honest in our income tax return. And when we refuse to be our brother's keeper. We are like Cain. So let us recognize our propensity to sin. Then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, not to be like Cain. And we repent because we know God does what is right. But despite all these, Genesis 4 actually ends to tell us that God's grace continues. Towards the end of the chapter, it recorded God preserve a remnant in the towards the end in verse 25 and 26. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Seth in Hebrew sounds like granted. So it is another child, the faithful child, in replace of the faithful Abel. And Seth had a son called Enosh, which means weakness. It is the time when people began to call on the name of the Lord. This is an image of prayer. True religion is when people recognize our weakness and pray to God. Just like the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector praying in the temple. The Pharisee was saying that, how good I am, you know, I offer, I pray how many times, and then I'm not like this tax collector. And yet, when the tax collector pray, he just beat his chest and he says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He was weak, but the parable towards the end, Jesus says, he went home justified before God. So today, let us remember that. When, no matter what we did, When we repent, we turn back to God. In repentance, God will forgive us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our righteous Lord and Savior, we know that sin is a lifelong struggle within us. Every one of us have Cain inside us. So help us be aware, be alert, and constantly trust in the power of your Holy Spirit to help us keep Cain in check. And may our life be pleasing to you so that we can live the full life that you have intended for all of us. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.
Please rise.